Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we talk about things that I put in the show notes, but that Brandon just found out about. That's right. It's a very special Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brandon. And we have
got so quiet. Why did you get so quiet all of a sudden?
No, I didn't get quiet. No. It's because Original Sound for Musicians is on now on the Zoom chat.
Okay, I just have to turn you up.
Okay,
talking to me.
Okay,
I gotta balance the levels. You know, we gotta have good video levels.
I can't keep talking if you're talking over me. So you can balance the levels. All right, here. So while you're balancing levels, I'll go through housekeeping. That's right. Social media. You can go find us on Twitter. At Apathusiast, he's at Jugglemino. I'm at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us at facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Email apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Like Bluehost and other things that we owe money to, you can get a hold of us there. Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. The web. That's right. We still have a website, even though we don't post any updates to it. apatheticenthusiasm.com.
It's the crux of everything that we do, though.
And if you want to watch us talk about this stuff, not live, but after the fact, you can find that at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Of course, you go to patreon.com to donate a few bucks here and there. Apathetic Enthusiasm, patreon.com. And then are you starting a podcast? AE Pod somewhere probably gets you started. Yeah, Travis, how are you doing? That's housekeeping, by the way. Now it's housekeeping of how's Travis doing?
I'm great. I think our levels are more in sync. But you tell us in the comments on YouTube if the levels sound
and
better
if,
or not.
And if they're not level, then bye.
Yeah, just unsubscribe.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Acknowledge the NSYNC joke.
Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost March. It's not like it's going to be May.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it. Backstreet Boys. Yeah. Chelsea would kill me. She would kill me if she's like, no, you know, goddamn well, that's not back.
You know, that's Justin Timberlake with his instant ramen haircut. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, like a little nasally. Am I a little nasally?
You don't seem too nasally.
I'm incepting that idea in everybody's head so that for the remainder of the podcast, I sound sick. But I have been fighting off like some sort of sinus infection type thing. I wasn't feeling great last week, which was one of the reasons why we didn't record an episode.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And it's just kind of been, wrestling with it all week. It's not COVID. I've taken the tests. I filled in all the bubbles and it wasn't COVID. But yeah, so I just like mucus and gunk and the seasons are changing and the pollen counts are high. So it's just, you know, it's all the things, but I've been busy, hanging out, doing things, watching shows, playing cards. All of these things that I'm sure we'll talk about in great detail during this episode.
That's right. And while you're talking about those things during this episode, I will go ahead and slice the next level of my Silent Coin Tavern and Inn Dungeon Part 1.
Using Cura as your software, what you using there?
No, I kind of did a little bit of an upgrade, Travis. I'm using Bamboo Studios.
That's right. So this is your 3D printing minute.
Usually reserved for the post show, but non-patrons will get to hear all of the juicy details.
Non-patrons, you've been missing out. Patrons, they're riveted. They're raving about how happy they are about all of this 3D printing talk. But you know, we're gonna give you a special treat, a special a taste of some 3D action. So I saw here's a story behind this. A coworker of mine, after like some major meeting where we talked about an audit for a security inspection, he's like, hey Brandon, Jeff, my buddy Jeff, can you come talk to me? I'm like, yeah, sure. So we go into his office, and I'm like, oh, okay, what's this gonna be about? Like, oh, what kind of political maneuvering machinations are we gonna have to deal with in this meeting, right? Am I gonna have to send an email and a nastily written email again? What's going on? He pulls us in, he's like, check this out. And he reaches into his little knapsack. It might have been a laptop bag, but I'll say it was a knapsack. And it's this 3D printed lightsaber that he designed himself. And it was multicolored printed. He put the light in there and it was bitching. And was like, this is such good quality. This is such a good quality thing. He's like, yeah, it's like one shot, all one print, one color. I designed it myself. And it got us talking about bamboo printers and how cool they are in the automated machine coloring something, AMS. I don't know what it is.
The system that automatically switches your filament.
Yes. And from that point on, I'm like, I don't want to ender anymore. I want to splurge and get one of these things. So I it took a long time, but Chelsea eventually fucked up and she said something that she shouldn't have said, which was, oh yeah, you can 3D print it. And then she said, ah, shit. And then I was like, yay, cool. She said yes. And she's like, that's not what I meant. And I'm like, too late. I already bought it.
Too late. Add to cart. Ha ha.
So I picked it up. It came. And then I got the multicolor thing for it as well. And I just, this thing is so cool because with the Ender, there's a lot of tinkering and there's a lot of troubleshooting to get like the settings just right between the different types of plastics. And sometimes it can get frustrating because you're like, I don't know if it's this part or if it's this part or if it's another three parts or if it's a setting in the computer. What is it that is the problem with this print?
Yeah.
And this thing just works. It just works so well.
I feel like there is a difference in the hobbying of 3D printing, where if you want to have a printer where you can understand a little bit more about the intricacies of how it works and all of the different moving parts and fine tuning and tweaking things, yeah, an Ender 3. Yeah, it's going to give you that opportunity because after two successful prints, randomly something will break or randomly something won't work. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, why is this not working now? And then you can spend like half of a weekend banging your head against the 3D printer while you try to like adjust your extruder and then re-level and then maybe the filament's too hot. Oh, maybe my Z offset is a little too far. Oh, now I'm gouging my build plate. Maybe it wasn't the Z height.
Let me re-level the bed again. Oh, let me take the piece of paper and then level all the corners again. Oh, maybe it loosened just a little bit.
Well, maybe I'll download a file that will print a test to see how well my leveling is. And then it turns out that it's actually just your slicer is exporting your G code incorrectly. And that's like, oh, I corrupted the memory card. That must be it. Like, there's so many different things that go into it, which pros and cons, right? If you want something that just works, drop all the money that you have and go buy a really nice printer that figures out a lot of that stuff for you and does it automatically. And then it just works. And that's great. And it is something I definitely want in the future. But there is a small aspect, and I'm not past this point yet, where after all of that troubleshooting, when I get that successful print afterwards, or even having successful prints that I can then even improve because of minor adjustments, there is a gratification to that as well. There is something where, okay, I have outsmarted this stupid piece of hardware and have been able to create some sort of useless plastic object that I can then go put on somebody's desk at work.
Yeah, and I think for me, I get frustrated when I spend so much time trying to fix a problem that somebody else has fixed a long time ago. And sure. Yeah. So like with it, I have a bamboo PSP, I used to have an Ender too. And so the difference between those two, $200. Well, I've invested $200 extra onto the Ender 2, which would have gotten me to the PSP to the point where it gets where it actually friggin' works finally. And it would have saved me so much. I got the Ender for Christmas. So, you know, thanks to the showers, thanks to Chelsea's parents for getting it to me in the first place, because I would never have bought one before. But, you know, like, if you're just getting into the hobby, there is such a barrier to technical entry at the start. For those who are like, what the hell is a Z axis? You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
those things start to hurt. So if you want to do some printing just out of the gate, I would recommend, you know, just spending $200 extra and then going that route. Right.
Well, and you don't have the lowest end of the bamboo printers. Like, you can get a cheaper bamboo printer that is an open, like, body. It's a smaller build plate, so you can't build things as big, but you're still going to get the speed. You're still going to get reliability with your prints. It's going to be super fast. I don't think you have like the camera or things like that to monitor your prints. But there is an attachment to that where you can still do multicolor printing, because they have an option for automatic, you know, filament switching and stuff like that. So it's crazy. I mean, for longtime listeners of the podcast, I mean, we've been talking and rambling about 3D printing for really almost a couple of years now. And the advancements in 3D printing in just the time since we got into it, right, is insane. And the fact that, like, oh yeah, it seemed like a really niche hobby. Now it is still, you know, not everybody is 3D printing, but it is much more accessible because of the reliability of some of these newer printers. And I think it's really just going to keep growing and growing. And the fact that now you can get all these pre-designed files that have the multiple colors already baked into it, so you can, like, you just kind of plug and play, like, oh yeah, that's a multicolored thing, and you're not worrying about paint, you're not worrying about switching the filament yourself or doing anything like that. In the 2 years the changes have been nuts. The next 5-10 years, who knows what we're gonna
see. and we used to, you know, we said early on, because you got a resin printer and I started with FDM or PLA, which is the plastic. And my big thing for wanting to get a resin printer is, man, my minis look awful on the plastic. They just don't look good. That's why I want resin. Well, the machine I have now and the advancements that have come, the minis that I have, you know, there's still some layer lines there, but they are far and away such better quality than anything my Ender had done. That was like, you know what? I actually don't need a resin printer anymore. This does what I need it to do.
Yeah, my resin printer is being heavily neglected right now. And I will say, I still really appreciate the level of detail in the resin, but it's just such a pain to work with. And it's so gross with all the toxic sludge you have to deal with, and using all the rubber gloves and things just to mess with stuff. And then you accidentally drop a printed model and it just shatters because the resin's pretty brittle and stuff like that. And so I do use my other printer a lot more, but that's not what we're going to talk about this whole hour.
No, no.
Even though it's been the first 15 minutes of this podcast, because we usually save that for the post show. I think Brandon is really, the reality is he doesn't want to talk about one of the things that I put as a topic for this episode. And I put it in the title, right? Which I'm going to force you to use this title now when you use the episode. Yeah. Into the Airbender Revolution, right? That's right. The last Airbender, new high-priced series just released on Netflix. If you are a fan of The Last Airbender, the TV show, the animated series, not the hit feature film by M. Night Shyamalan. this is an 8-episode series of for The Last Airbender. Episodes are about an hour long. I watched the first episode as I was about 10 minutes into it. I shoot a text over to Brandon and I say, "Hey, you be watching any Airbender this weekend?" And your response was,
"No."
Yeah, all caps, like, no. It was very matter of fact in your response. What made you so adamant about not checking out The Last Airbender, or watching The Last Airbender, even giving it a chance?
I think that when I said no, I didn't mean it to all be all caps, first of all. But
message received, Brand.
But since it's out there, I stand by it. You know, don't who am I to renege back on that? So I know about The Last Airbender. My younger brother watched it. My kid liked it. We talk about cabbages, I know about the show, and I'm interested in the story about The Last Airbender, but it wasn't like something that I was in love with necessarily. So
yeah,
I was excited. I say excited very loosely. I was interested in the adaptation, the live action adaptation that was not a movie. I was like, okay, they could probably do it justice than what Shyamalan had done. Because the Shyamalan movie, I saw it in theaters with my brother, and it was okay, but it wasn't fantastic. Now, I started seeing stuff on Twitter, not X, mind you, on Twitter. And
so this was like a year or two ago.
No. This last weekend, like this last week and a half. And people were like, not good. and to be fair, there's a lot of people who love the series, the original animated series. And they're like, it's already, they showed, like, one gif was Aang or Aang. Do they call him Aang or Aang in the show?
I think they call him Aang.
Okay. All right. Good. Because the movie called him Aang. So Aang.
I have not watched the movie, by the way. Okay. Just for the record.
Just to be clear. So Aang is flying in into the scene. And one of the comments was like, it's not even 5 minutes in and they're already messing up because Aang doesn't have his glider. He doesn't fly without his glider because he's an airbender. He's not a Superman. That's what he uses to fly around. Now, okay. That being said, I didn't get a warm and fuzzy from it from the social media stuff. And also, I was busy this weekend. I was working on my Corvette, my 1963 classic Corvette. I went to a birthday party where they were roasting one of my cousins. And then Sunday, I did nothing but 3D print. So, you know, I just didn't have time.
So busy on my intuitive, set it and forget it 3D printer, printing large pieces of a miniature structure. I had no time.
Let me tell you about this 3D printing structure I was with. So it's not that I don't want to watch it. It's not that I'm still interested in it, but I have so little time nowadays to really like to want to sit through a show that I have a hard time being like, if I hear like any kind of like negative thing, I'm like, maybe it's not worth my time.
And that's really what I wanted to bring up, because I only watched the first episode of The Last Airbender. I did not binge it. I have watched some of The Last Airbender, the animated series. I have not finished it. I've watched a few seasons, I think. It's good. But I did not like grow up watching it. Mm-hmm. I did not. I was not a diehard fan.
You don't like Die Hard? No, that's a great series.
No, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously.
After
yeah,
Live, I mean, after the third one, you know, Live Free, Die Hard yeah. with, yeah, that was okay, right?
Yeah, Walkie Talkie, Die Hard. Yeah, it was good.
I'm not a diehard
fan. Anyway, I know Netflix put a lot of money into this. There were early optimistic views, so I thought, you know what? I have an hour. I'm sitting on the couch anyway. Let's throw on an episode. Let's see how it looks. I didn't hate it, nor was I, this is absolutely astounding. This is amazing. And so I'm very curious for people that have no awareness of the animated series or have no previous knowledge of the lore or the characters or the setting or the story, what is their impression of The Last Airbender without a basis of expectation?
Yeah.
Obviously, you have diehard fans, people who expect you to follow everything that's in the original animated series, or you're wrong. There is no room for creative license or changing things, because nope, Nickelodeon put out the story, and if it's not the way Nickelodeon did it, it's wrong. I kind of have a problem with that opinion. Sorry. Leave me a comment in the video if you'd like. But yeah, they changed things right away. The way that they presented the characters, the way that they introduced the story is done differently. The way that they open the show, it's different in this live action series than it is in the animated series. You don't find out about Aang's past and where he's from for a little while, if memory suits me, in the show. Here, it like starts there, like the show starts there with his past and learning about the community that he comes from and things like that. And so it comes around to it by the end of that first hour to revealing a lot of the things that you knew in the first few episodes. But I mean, again, we're talking about 8 episodes instead of like 20 something episodes that are 20 minutes long that you have in an animated series. And so I do think there are problems. I think the CGI budget was a majority of the budget, and they some of it looks really good, and some of it is not as good. And I can look past that in general. But yeah, I don't know. Child actors are a mixed bag. I think you I think the main character, I think this is his first like big acting job, if I remember correctly from what I've heard. And so yeah, there's some room for growth.
There's some room for bending, like show bending.
Yeah. but I am really curious,
adaptation bending,
for people that are not diehard fans, like what are their reviews? Do they think this is cool? Do they like it, or do they think it's hot garbage?
Travis, you know, we're talking about the animated series, then the movie, then the live action series. There's a question about, and we've talked about it on this show before. I can't, don't ask us to point out an episode, because we will not be able to.
Years, guys. We got no idea.
But the topic of remaking things, right? And like, what makes a good remake of an IP? I've heard great things about Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 2. like so far, like being like really, really, really good, right? And that's a remake of David Lynch's version, which was obviously an adaptation of Herbert's. And then like RoboCop, the RoboCop remake wasn't that great. I think Joel Kinnaman was in that. And then you have like a Total Recall remake. You have like all these remakes of things that they're not that great, but then there are good remakes. I'm a fan of the Dawn of the Dead remake, which James Gunn and Zack Snyder had done, a really good remake. Even like a Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 70s version was a remake of one back in the 50s, which is another remake then in like the 90s. And like, it's good. The thing from Another Planet then turned into The Thing. John Carpenter's was a remake. There are some remakes that are good. There are some readaptations that are really, really good, and some that falter. And I wonder, Travis, like, what if you had to like simplify it? And I know this is oversimplifying it, but what makes a good remake or readaptation versus a bad one?
I think, generally speaking, it has to be, the production quality has to be good, like on its own, right? If the production quality or the original IP, like is really, fans really love it, you have to take the time and spend the money and have the talent to do it justice. You can't go halfway because people will immediately feel like you're not taking seriously the thing that they already love. I think that that is important. I think Netflix has poured a lot of money into this Netflix series. I don't think anybody goes into this Avatar series after seeing what the critical opinion of the feature film was. Like, I don't think you go into that lightly. Like, this will be easy. Fans will immediately appreciate it. Like, and I think that they genuinely tried to do a good job and put forth the effort and honor the original IP. But then I think like the other part of it is like nostalgia is important, and we don't always remember original properties the way they actually are. We sometimes remember them the way they make us feel. Right. And yeah. So I think that's important for not just like remakes, but like adaptations and continuations of things that people really love. Right. So we recently got a trailer for X-Men. What is it? X-Men 97.
Yep.
The continuation of the animated X-Men series from the late 90s, which I vividly remember, like, going to high school and going to the art room like the hour before school started, and my friends were in there watching like the Beast, what is it, Beastmasters, like Transformers, Beast Wars or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the animated X-Men, like they would be watching that before school started at school. High school students. This was a thing that happened. We don't know the writing, we don't know how the story will be, but from the visuals of this trailer, it looks like they're really trying to capture that original intent and spirit of the show. Another thing that jumps out to me is that Masters of the Universe Revolutions, which is another Netflix series, bringing back He-Man, right? He-Man, a hero from my youth. I had He-Man action figures and all of those things, right? I wouldn't have considered myself like a huge He-Man fan, but I definitely remember watching like the cartoon as a kid. And so for some people, like that nostalgia is like really big. It's like for me, like with Ninja Turtles. I love Ninja Turtles. But so they're like, He-Man, yes. Like I'm here for it. I was like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then I check out the series and I'm like, wow, Kevin Smith loved this and got really talented people to work on it. And the writing's good and the story's good. And it plays with some of those like things you remember as a child. So for me, like, though, like, I kind of binged through the second chapter of He-Man Revolutions over the last couple weeks, just because, like, even though it wasn't something I loved as a kid, like, I liked it, but they did a good job on just telling that story, that it didn't have to be like it overcame any like thoughts I had about it as a kid or stuff like that, because it was just really good the way that they made it.
You said something key, which I believe is the core of any good remake or adaptation, which is, it's one thing to love a property. It's one thing to be like, I love Ninja Turtles, right? But the Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was the first Ninja Turtles thing that had come out in, you know, 20 years that I was like, this is Ninja Turtles right here, right?
Sure.
And I feel like it's, not only do you have to be, you know, talented as far as art and direction and effects and writing, but you also have to like understand the essence. You have to love the essence of what those characters are and what those stories are. And for those properties that they missed the mark, and they're like, that wasn't what the point of this was. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Like if people were to remake, this is all the rage now, Starship Troopers, talking about Starship Troopers. If they focus on Starship Troopers and they were remake it, and they're like, yeah, let's just show them killing bugs all over the place. Like, you're missing the subtext of what Verhoeven was doing the entire time, which is making it a analog about fascism and how we're easily swayed into attacking things that are different from us. And then put them in Nazi costumes at the very end. Thank you, Doogie Howser. Right? Like, it's the difference between like, this was a movie I loved as a kid, and this would be fun to remake, versus this is a movie I loved as a kid. This is what the story was about. I want to tell that story in a similar way, but different.
And I think there's, you have all those attribute sliders, right? Like, you have the story slider, right? And you can go full 100 and tell exactly the same story, line for line, beat for beat. You have the message, right? Or the plot or the subtext, right? And you can tell some of that, you can tell all of it. But then you have other things like the technology or the way that you're casting and all these other things. And I think there's a balance, right, where when you're trying to do a remake, if you're just like, I'm gonna remake that because it was a sci-fi film that was produced in the 80s and technology has come so far, we could do such a good job of making this look cooler and more modern and upgrade the effects, and it's going to be successful because the original was successful, and if we just upgrade these effects, it's a sure thing. But if you don't pay attention to those other sliders, and you're like, oh wait, like, they're not actually telling the same story, or they're skipping over important elements about why we care about these characters or why they're important to us, that's definitely a recipe for a bad remake, I think, in a lot of situations.
Definitely agree. I think the key is that nostalgia alone will get people to see it, but it won't get people to like it.
Yeah, and it'll get like the first few thousand people to see it, and then they're going to let everybody else know whether or not they should go spend their money.
I do want to mention this thing about nostalgia, because I know I just said I don't have time to watch a show.
But I watched 40 episodes. Of something.
But I watched The Flash seasons 1 through 37. So this last weekend, a show came out with a new offshoot of its series. You may recognize this. It's a show that is basically a metaphor for us, because it's The Walking Dead. It's The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, which reintroduces Michonne and Rick Grimes into the series. And I've been reading some, you know, some thoughts and some coverage of it. And I'm like, it almost wants me to watch it again, because I'm like, I like the first couple seasons of The Walking Dead. And then we did Fantasy League, and then it, like, maybe we were too critical of it. And I was like, this show sucks now. It makes me kind of want to go back, because I've seen some people say that that essentially they were going to make these into three different movies, but then they're like, oh, let's just make it a show. And that the first episode of the show feels like it was like a movie production. And I don't know if that is because Michonne and Rick show up again after all these years, but I'm like, I'm interested to see if The Walking Dead comes back and is actually good again.
Yeah, I didn't even see a trailer. I saw just the like text on the bottom of like, what is it? Sci-Fi Channel. What channel is that on?
AMC.
AMC. They had a movie on TV at work, and they just had the text at the bottom that was like, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Lived, you know, this Sunday or whatever. And I was like, still doing The Walking Deads, huh?
Still doing them.
Still. Is Hardwick still doing the post show? Is that still happening?
No, he's The Walking Dead. They had like the Daryl Dixon one is like Worlds Apart, where he like somehow makes it over to Europe, and then
tons of spinoffs and different things that I had zero interest in.
Those weren't characters I cared about. Like, I cared about Rick at the start because he was part of the graphic novel. Like, that was the story I was interested
in. Then he had his grandson Morty with him.
Morty, we're gonna kill zombies, Morty.
There's so many zombies, Morty. Stupid.
This is very stupid.
All right. I have a round robin of random topics that I want to update folks on. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
Let's see. I did. What did we talk about?
Just
Oppenheimer.
Add flavor text.
Did we,
to everything.
Did I'm we talking. Talk about Oppenheimer? Maybe in the post
talked
show.
A little bit about Oppenheimer.
Okay, I watched it and I don't want to work on missiles. Okay, so that was the first thing. What else was there? Damn. We watched something else recently too.
Have you watched Beef?
Beef. No. I watched part of it, and I watched maybe like the first or second, one or two episodes, and it was good, but I didn't like it. It felt too negative and too cynical for my tastes.
Oh, then you got out early.
No, good no, I watched it all the way to. I mean, I caught pieces of it till the end. Sure. When I say one or two episodes, I mean, Chelsea's watching it. Oh, look, they're still doing asshole.
Sat in on a couple episodes. Yeah, it was negative and cynical and sad, and a really interesting look at two horrible people that are perfect for each other, that try to ruin each other's lives and are mostly successful. It's doing very well this award season. Which brings me to the SAG Awards, which were this last weekend, the Screen Actors Guild Awards. A lesser-known award show, not always viewed by the masses, but trying something new in 2024 with a contract with Netflix. So the SAG Awards were featured live on Netflix instead of on network television or something like that. A couple of things that this means. One, you have no commercial breaks. It's on Netflix. There's no ads. So to break up the sort of monotony of an award show, they would just cut backstage to one of their hosts, like interviewing people after they had won their awards, which was it worked is an interesting thing. Also, you have way more time for your acceptance speeches. Oh. Because they're not like So I think that the very first award was for lead actor in a television comedy or something like that.
Okay.
Which I don't remember his name, but it's the main guy from not Beef. What's the cooking one?
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, not Gordon Ramsay.
the Gruber. I know which one you're talking about. It's on FX.
Yeah,
The Bear.
Thank you. Anyway, so he won and he gave his acceptance speech, and then he's like, "Oh wow, they give you a lot of time here," and he's like, "Well, that's all I have." So then he walked off stage. Also, it's on Netflix, so there's no like editing for like curse words or anything like that. Yeah. So they kind of played into that a little bit, which, okay, it's more edgy, I guess, because people can swear on Netflix. But for the most part, it was your standard award show. It was fine. Mm-hmm. Killers of the Flower Moon looking good this year. Beef getting tons of awards.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer doing really well. And then Succession. Have you ever watched Succession?
Bits and pieces of it, enough to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's won so many dang awards. I just feel like I have to probably watch it at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cynical.
Yeah. Very cynical.
Yeah, it's very cynical.
Yeah.
I don't like cynical here. I'm not a fan of cynical, but what I am a fan of is at the last minute irony and being depressed. I like those types of endings. I want to watch something that's hopeful until the very end. And then it's crushing with sadness. I don't want to watch something over the course of 4 to 5 seasons where it's like, all of this is depressing. All of this is awful. Can you give me
an example of something that's
Beef.
That's hopeful? And
Beef. Sorry.
Okay.
The Mist.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Also this weekend, moving on.
Schindler's List.
In your Lorcana update for this week. This was the release of Into the Inklands, the third series of trading cards for Lorcana. And this was okay. We've been talking about me dipping my toes into this world, right? I'm new to the trading card scene. We'd been buying packs. What?
When you dip, I dip, we dip.
When I dip, you dip, we dip. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just put your hand up on my head. Anyway. So I didn't know what I should do, because like I've bought random packs. I bought like the starter decks that I could find in like Target and Walmart. Mm-hmm. But this was like, all right, they're only releasing the new cards in your local game stores. You can't get it at Target yet. That's not till in March. And I'm like, am I going to have to take a day off work? Am I like, are these cards going to be available? Are going to be hard to find? And thankfully, my lovely and talented and beautiful wife, she just went to the card store for me while I was at work and bought an entire box of 24 Jeez. Packs of trading cards, for me. It was also our wedding anniversary, so it worked out, the timing. I don't know what excuse I'm going to use the next time a set comes out to buy a full box. But that was really fun. Me and my son, we ripped through all the packs. I was able to build a couple new decks. We got some cool, like, exclusive cards and things like that. We still have not found an enchanted card, which is like the one in like 94 packs, like rarity type cards. But this new set, it's added new types of cards
mechanics,
to the game.
Mechanics.
New mechanics to the game. Now you now have locations. I thought those were scissors. I thought you were whipping scissors very close to your face.
No, it's my cast. It's my cast bottle opener. I'm just listening to this and I'm excited. What it sounds like, Travis. Oh, I'm so excited. What it sounds like is like magic. Magic started with like base decks, and then they're like, we need to keep people buying shit, so let's keep adding different mechanics and blah blah blah.
No, this is a proven system that between Pokemons and Yu-Gi-Oh's and like this formula is set, right? And so there are already pre-announced new series that are going to be coming out for the rest of the year. Like wow. The release dates are already out, right? So this is going to keep happening.
Wow.
But it was interesting. I was happy to be able to get some cards. There was a tournament. I almost entered a tournament this weekend.
Oh my God. Brandon, wow.
I didn't do it, but possibly next month. That will be your Lorcana update next month is me possibly playing in my first tournament. If it works out, I've got a lot of travel next month too. So we'll see. But Into the Inklands, new locations, new cards, lots of fun. I'm still having fun with it. That's really the update. And the next time I see Brandon in person, I'm going to force him to play with me. That is a promise.
That is a great segue, Travis, because next time you see me in person will be, this is our update. Boo, 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 boo. Comic-Con. That's right. We got press passes to Comic-Con again.
We're
this
back,
year.
Baby.
Woo, we didn't jack up enough the first time. So they invited us for another round. So I'll be going to WonderCon this year. Travis won't be, but he's going to be coming out for Comic-Con, and hopefully, you know, that in itself is great. Hopefully he'll bring his family out and we'll do a joint Disneyland trip. So Travis can use my disability in order to skip a bunch of lines.
Just scam him up. Yeah, no, I'm excited. We had so much fun at Comic-Con last year. I am trying to get into a local convention, I think, out here in Oklahoma. So we'll figure out some ways to generate some content off of those experiences as well. But yeah, it's Comic-Con is a huge event. Last year, as cool as it was, we still had a writer's strike. We still had an actor's strike going on.
Yeah.
So because now that those have all been resolved, I am very excited to see what kinds of panels and things will be announced for this year's Comic-Con. See what feels different. See what things we can get into. And so, yeah, that's going to be really fun. And maybe, if we're lucky, there'll be some Lorcana players there, too.
If we're lucky. But if we're not lucky, then at least I'll 3D print us some amazing cosplay. The last thing I want to say, moving away, here's the notes I have in my hand. I have one, period, CC, which stands for Comic-Con, and I have two, period, DC, because this weekend,
DC.
This weekend, Chelsea, the 12-year-old, and I were going to Washington, D.C.
Washington, the District of Columbia,
doing a little bit of visit there, so it's a straight flight from LAX to DC and then a straight flight back. The way there, we're going, Chelsea was like, I don't want to go to DC, but she's like, but first class. So I'm broke now and we're going first class to DC. I mean, mostly for the kid. But like pretty excited about that. My buddy is getting promoted. We're gonna go to the Pentagon.
Oh my gosh, that five-sided building.
Yeah. And then we're gonna go to Smithsonian.
Have you been in there before?
No. Have you?
Oh, very exciting.
Have you?
Very exciting stuff. I vomited in that building. So ripping the curtain here.
It was 2001,
I had an affliction.
September 11th.
I for over the last few years have had a condition called eosinophilic esophagitis. And yes, it took me a really long time to learn how to say that. It is basically an inflammation of your esophagus. And for a long time, when I would eat foods or combinations of certain foods like bread, meat, and carbonated beverages like soda, food would get stuck in my throat and like wouldn't go down. I couldn't swallow it. And a couple times it would be so bad that it would have to come back up. Well, this happened a couple times and I didn't think much of it. I was like, whatever, it's no big deal. And then I took a trip to Washington, D.C. I actually had a meeting in the Pentagon where I was meeting people. And then we had lunch in the Pentagon because they have like a food court in there. And I was eating lunch, took a bite of a pulled pork sandwich, big bite, washed it down with a soda, and immediately it just got caught in my throat. And I couldn't swallow it. And then the panic set in. So I was like, oh God.
Oh no.
I am in a place I've never been before. It's not exactly the most intuitive layout for places.
No, and like you're probably escorted in there. So you're like, I can't just run off in a direction.
Thankfully, I was in a place where I was like, excuse me, I have to go use the restroom. Okay. And I just went. But then I was like running all over the place trying to find a restroom. Finally, I find a restroom. I open the door and it was like a private restroom. It was like, it was not like a large restroom with a bunch of stalls. It was just like a single room. So I just like opened the door. And as soon as I got in that door, out came the food product. So I was like cleaning it up and doing all this stuff.
And General Mattis is just covered with your your vomit. You're like,
sorry, sir.
I'm mad
sorry,
dog.
Sorry, mad dog.
I'm a mad dog.
So that's the story of how I puked in the Pentagon. And and then eventually went to the doctor, found out what was wrong, get cameras down my throat every 6 months. But as of the last camera, I am now clear of my EOE. Thanks to modern medicine.
That's great.
Vaccines. Ha ha.
That's great. Thank you, Pentagon, for.
Thanks, Pentagon.
Thanks, Pentagon, for doing what you did to help you, you know, figure out your affliction, you know, like that's great.
That was a good barbecue sandwich. I went back and finished it.
BBQ sandwich does sound good right now.
So good. All right. So you're going to DC. So have DC. A great time. Yeah. Are you going to be back before we normally record?
Yes, I'll be back Sunday. We'll have a straight flight back. It's weird. We leave at like 8 in the morning and get back to LAX at 11. It's like.
Them time zones.
Time zones. It's gonna screw me up completely. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. We'll talk about that on Monday. We'll talk about that whole visit. And everyone who's listening, thank you all for listening, especially Mike, who I talk shit to every single week. That's right. That's our employee or former employee minute of the week. Mike, yes. No one called me back from that job. I did apply. I spent 3 to 4 hours updating that resume, and not a single person called me, Mike. Maybe it's because you referred me. Maybe it's because you referred me, Mike, that no one wants to be associated with you.
They're like, Mike knows this guy. Put it in the bin.
Go ahead and delete it. Oh, speaking of deleted, maybe Mike also referred me to that Disney job that I applied for, which I also
were
got rejected.
Denied within 12 hours.
So quickly. They're like, thank you for applying. No. Bye.
All right. Well, all right. The last thing I want to share, it's not Mike, but it's Matt. I wanted to share It's a shout out to my favorite social media creator right now. This is Matt McCarthy. Matt McCarthy is a guy that lives in LA. He's an actor. But he's got a red beard, red hair. He is the king of physical media, right? He has a garage that is full of VHS tapes. Ooh. And his Instagram, his TikTok is covered with him sharing what is on these tapes. He's currently going through a series in 2024 where he is playing a different VHS tape every day. So he just picks a tape randomly out of there. Most of these tapes he gets at like estate sales and different places. So they're like, most of them are tapes that people recorded, like, of television shows. Uh-huh. And then he has his VCRs hooked up to, like, a digitizer. So he plays what's on the tapes in these videos. And I tell you, certain tapes are real snoozers. They're not great. It's kind of random. And then there are these golden nostalgia nuggets where he pulls the tape from like 1987 and you're getting like commercials that you haven't seen or thought about in like 35 years and exclude, like he's got exclusive stuff from the series finale of Cheers and like, you know, like all these different things that these important moments that people decided they needed to tape. He does Betamax Sundays. He's got a Betamax player where he plays Betamax every Sunday. But he's entertaining. He does commentary throughout the clips, but, yeah, Matt McCarthy, his social media, I love it. It's one of my favorite things, right now. So shout out to the Video Garage. He's got a Patreon. You can join the Video Garage. He'll laminate you a little membership card. But yeah, it's, fun stuff. Fun
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
In order to follow him, make sure you go to our Patreon, patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm.
Yeah, we'll get you there, but you should
where,
still do it.
Where you'll find links to all of his stuff underneath a paywall. So make sure you do that.
I don't think any of this is true.
No, it's not. And honestly, like I would do it, but it's just so much work. You know, like I can't be bothered to follow through with that gag. So just imagine that I've done it. I've done it all.
Use your imagination. Well, that's it. That's what's been polluting our week. I'm proud of us for coming up with almost an hour's worth of conversation, despite hyper fixating on trading cards and 3D printing.
Yeah.
With most of our spare time. But anyway, if you have a topic or thing that you want us to talk about, please hit us up at any of the social links or send us an email. We'd love to know what's on your mind and if there are things that you want us to talk about as well. Brandon, the floor is yours. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, the last thing I want to say is I think I hit my record for all of the games I've played on Board Game Arena at one time. I think I got up to 7. I think I got to 7 or 8 games at a time on Board Game Arena. And yeah, it is as complicated as you think it would be. So a couple games of King of Tokyo, a couple of games of Train to Nowhere. What is that game?
Ticket to Ride. Train to Nowhere.
Then why is that not a game name? It should be. And then we got Tobago. We got Castles of Burgundy. We got Azul. We got Hardback. Just so many games. And
none of them inviting me.
No.
Not a single one.
No, I want to, but I know you're so busy. I don't want to pull you away from the important work that you're doing, with Nation's Youth. But what I'll say, Travis, is even with that many games, I'm still reloading my phone all the time. I'm like, somebody fucking play their turn already. I want to play this game. No one's taking their turn. I wake up in the morning at like 4:30. I have to take a dump. And I'm like, come on, somebody be awake right now so I can take my turn. And no one's taking their turn. And so I just add games on top of games until somebody will play with me. Anyways, I'll send you an invite.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
And then I'm going to just start spamming links to Pixelborn until you download the virtual.
I did go to that website. I didn't download it. Although I did almost buy some Lurkana decks the other day. That is true. Okay. Well.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We're going to go record a post show where we stumble through another 10 minutes of conversation. But we love you. Thank you so much for listening, for watching, for subscribing. If you're new here, rate, review, do all those things. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you so much. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.